importance of being a Christian. Are those stands in the way?
No.
There you go.
Just the kids first.
Oh, the kids haven't gone? Kids have gone? Some of the kids have actually been drawing some pictures too, right? So if you are some of those children, you can go see Mrs. Marek at the back after the service, and she's got something for you as well, all right? Now, the adults might be start doing that too, so they might want a gift. Louder yet? Louder? Something about going louder? Want me to talk louder? How's that?
There
we go. How's that? Is that better? I'll lose my voice by the time I get through. There we go. All right, we found it out. Technology. Always working with it. So we're going to look at the importance of being a Christian. And of course, this is kind of a series that's in the works and putting it all together. I planned on speaking on something else today, and I had a couple things sitting on the burner, but Kathy and I talked about it, and we thought, you know what? This is something that we can just put aside. God wants to talk about something else. And I thought, well, maybe we'll try this one and go where God leads on this one. And this one's kind of a look back at where we were at one time and sort of looking. Wow. Whew. Oh, okay. It's all right. Now we know we're awake, right? So we're going to look at the first one we look at is a person reborn. And we're going to look at different scriptures as well this morning. In our lives, probably all of us can think about one point in our lives where one decision, one action, one moment changed everything for you. Everything. I know of a fellow that gone out with his buddies one night. They gone out for supper and they gone out for drinks. He had too much. Put him in the back of the car and he fell asleep. Unbeknownst to him, his buddies decided to rob a store. They didn't get too far out of the parking lot before the police arrived and arrested them. And of course, they had to wake him up. He spent 5 years in prison because he was an accomplice, even though he was sleeping. He had a wife and two children. Changed his life forever. One moment changes everything. And so it is when you and I chose to receive Jesus Christ into our lives. Do you remember that day? Do some of you remember it? Yes? Exciting time? Was it exciting?
Amen.
Amen? Good. Right. Everything was new. You felt like you were in cloud nine. Things changed as they went on. And those who knew us saw that there was something different about us. Something had changed inside of us. And they may not have understood all that was going on, and maybe we didn't understand either. But sometimes life begins and takes over. And the grueling task of being a Christian takes over. It's not an easy, is it? How many can honestly say that being a Christian has been easy? It's been a tough, tough, but it's been an exciting time to see how God can work in our lives as well. And as time does march on, sometimes we forget or fail to appreciate the importance of being a Christian. I think when we do kind of lose that whole idea of being a Christian, what it really means, we kind of start wandering a bit as well. We start thinking differently at times. We allow the world to enter into our minds. And we kind of sort of slip away from time to time. So I don't think it never hurts for us to reflect and ask such questions. What did I do? What did I do? What have I received? What are the implications and consequences of what I've done? For some of us, we've been cut off from our families. That's it. For some of us, when we came to know Christ, and maybe in our teen years, I remember coming to Christ when I was 14 in high school. And you know, in high school, in my days, a little different, there was a pecking order. Right? So when I became a Christian, I was at the pecking order at the very bottom. Bullied, beat up on, just because I knew Jesus, and just because I didn't indulge in all the things that the high that we did at that time. So I was at the bottom. What have I become? And what is different about me? What is different about me? I think I can summarize these questions down to this. What is the meaning and importance and value of being a Christian? And what am I to do now? So the questions are, what is the meaning, importance, and value of being a Christian? And what am I to do now? So in this first sermon, we're just going to learn that a Christian is a person reborn. And that is because in Christ we have become a new creation. Before we go any further, there's something that we need to understand. If you are a Christian, you need to understand your relationship to your old life, which once ruled you. Did you know you underwent a death, not a physical one, but a spiritual one, which means you're dead to your old life, that old sinful life that you used to live. But we have to realize, too, that sometimes that life comes up and gives us a whack once in a while, and we have to deal with it every so often in our lives. But because that life is gone and is dead, it no longer controls us. It shouldn't anyways, because we've been set free in Christ and made alive to God in Christ Jesus. And the first scripture I want to look at is Romans 6. It says, our old sinful lives are crucified with Christ so that sin might lose its power in our lives. Did you notice that? That sin might lose its power in our lives. We're no longer slaves to sin. For when we died with Christ, we were set free from the power of sin. So you should consider yourselves dead to sin, but alive in Christ Jesus. This means the old life has died. A new life has come. Therefore, you and I are a new creation. All of us know 2 Corinthians 5:17. I know it's up there. If anyone is in Christ, they are a new creation. The old has gone, the new has come. So what this verse says is we were made brand new. We become a new creation when we accepted Jesus Christ as our Lord and Savior. When he came into our lives, he performed a creative act, a miracle, an inside-out transformation. Do you know this word, and hopefully I can say it without getting tongue-tied, metamorphosis? Do you know what that means? How many of you ever noticed a little caterpillar running across a leaf and then a little while later, you find that little cocoon where he wraps himself up? How many of you actually opened one of those up halfway through? How many? Honest? How many of you are honest? Everybody's sitting there going, they don't want to answer them. I have, all right? When that caterpillar goes into that cocoon, what happens? It dissolves. It dissolves. When you open it up, the goo falls out. That caterpillar is now developing by dissolving itself, dying to its old self. And of course, in a few weeks, it turns into a butterfly, beautiful butterfly. And that is with us too. Our entire value system, relationship, and our thinking of life dissolves when we accept Jesus Christ in our lives and we emerge as one of his children, a new creation. And how is that possible? Well, here's the reason. A new creation is possible by a new birth. A new birth is produced by responding to God's word. 1 Peter chapter 1. Now that you have purified yourselves by obeying the truth, for you have been born again, not of perishable seed, but of imperishable seed, through the living and enduring word of God. Every Christian here today was brought to Christ through God's word. At some time prior to your salvation, you heard the gospel message and you responded to it. Some of you remember that time. Some of us probably with our parents, grandparents, probably a pastor or some type of youth meeting. Christ came into your life. Also, too, we cannot experience the new birth apart from God's word. It is God's word that grants new birth. We're born again, a new creation by God's word. We also need to understand that the Holy Spirit is also involved, too, at that moment. He is working in our lives as well. In Titus 3, it tells us, God our Savior showed us his kindness and love. He saved us, not because of good things we did, but because of his mercy. He washed away our sins and gave us a new life through the Holy Spirit. He generously poured out the Spirit upon us because of what Christ our Savior did. He's declared us not guilty because of his great mercy, and now we know that we will inherit eternal life. God's Spirit is involved as well with God's Word, working in us. God's only Son died instead of us. He paid the punishment that should have been upon us. And it's through his death on Calvary our sins have been washed away. Therefore, the gift of the new birth comes by means of God's Word and by the Holy Spirit. Both of them work together. And I'm going to tell you, when they both get together, they never let up. For some of us, it was a long struggle until we gave our lives to Christ. Also, this new creation embarks on a life of renewal. 2 Corinthians 4:16 says that our inner being is renewed daily. And that is why we never give up. Though our bodies are dying, our inner being is renewed every day. The moment we are born, we begin the march of growing old. All of us are shaking our head, yes. Let me just take a quick drink here. A friend of mine sent, some lady that I knew years ago, sent this little words. Aches and pains are here to stay. They seem to change day by day. The list of elements seems to grow as the body starts to slow. You can't be young, weak, or prissy. Growing old is not for sissies. Right? Sorry. Yes, we're growing older. For myself, I've lost the body that I once had. Seriously. Instead of being, you know, it went, all right, just like that, seriously. And once I had nice long hair, I used to put in a ponytail and used to ride my mom nuts. She used to always threaten to cut it off, get the scissors out to cut it off. Now it's like, one of these days I'll be able to polish it and stand out in the dark with a flashlight, right? Right? There's so lots of things taking place as our bodies grow older. And then, of course, our spouses always think we're still 21 years old. Some of you older guys know what I'm talking about. But we're not to lose heart because of the renewal of our inner being. Though we're dying physically, our inner being is being renewed daily. As Christians, it is God who gives us the strength that we need to live one day at a time. And we looked at that last week as well in prayer, the Lord's Prayer. Meets our needs one day at a time. Not for a whole week, not for a month or a year. One day at a time. And we have to learn to live in confidence that God's going to take care of us. And that takes a great deal of pressure off of our lives. When we come to that point and just say, you know what? Take it. Just take it. Also, too, this renewal involves our mind. In Romans 12:2, it says, do not be conformed any longer to the pattern of this world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind. Did you notice that in this verse there are two commands? The first is, do not be conformed to this world. The word conform basically means to assume an outward expression that does not come from within. Be conforming. When we conform ourselves to the world's systems, we eternally exhibit characteristics that fail to reflect our new birth and our new creation. We begin to display non-Christian values and attitudes in our lives. But we're to stop conforming to the world's systems. We're to be conformed in our minds. And that's one thing we need to understand. The battle in our Christian life begins in this gray mass that's up between our ears. That's where it all begins. Second command says to be transformed by the renewing of our minds. Transform means to assume an outward expression that reflects what's deep within. When Christ is within, he'll come out in all that we do. Our external lifestyle is to match our eternal, our new creation. And the key into this process is our minds. For it's our thought life that controls our attitudes. It's our thought life that controls our feelings. It's our thought life that controls our actions. In other words, we are to let our lives be transformed from the inside out. The Holy Spirit accomplished this transformation and reshaping our thinking. And how is this process done? Through God's Word and through the Holy Spirit. And as you spend time reading and meditating and memorizing God's Word, the mind will begin to change. And I really commend the church and the board that has stepped forward with prayer. But there is one thing that's also missing within the church today, and that is memorizing God's Word. And that, for me, has been put on the back burner for some reason. I think we need to get back into it. I can remember being in Sunday school, and then Sunday morning I got a list of what I had to remember for next Sunday. I think some of us remember those days. But God's Word must become a part of our lives. And when we begin to get deep into God's Word and allow the Holy Spirit to work, He'll begin to transform our minds. And then we will be able to reflect that new creation in our lives. Also, too, we have a new life. Because we have passed from death to life. As Jesus said in John, I assure you, those who listen to my message and believe in God who sent me have eternal life. They will never be condemned for their sins, but they have already passed from death into life. And I assure you that the time is coming, in fact, it is here, when the dead will hear my voice, the voice of the Son of God, and those who listen will live. Then over in 1 John 5, it says, and this is the testimony, God has given us eternal life, and this life is in his Son. He who has the Son has life. He who does not have the Son of God does not have life. I write these things to you who believe in the name of the Son of God, so that you may know that you have eternal life. So we're to listen carefully to what has been written. Because depending on our response to these scriptures, it tells us that if we don't respond, we're going to die in our sins. But since we responded to Jesus Christ and His Word and the Holy Spirit working in our lives, He has given us life. We have passed from death to life. We also have to remember that salvation is not the result of works. It comes by grace through faith. Ephesians 2. 8 through 9. Let's read it together. Is it up there? All of us should know it. For as by grace you have been saved through faith, and this not from yourselves. It is the gift of God, not by works, so that no one can boast. No one can boast. Jesus offers to everyone the opportunity to hear and live. Salvation gives us spiritual life and eternal life. Also, too, we have passed from darkness to light. 1 Peter 2:9 says, God called you out of darkness into his wonderful light. Of course, darkness within this Bible, especially in the New Testament, is referring to the life of sin. And this is also to be our aim and our goal in witnessing. Turn our friends. All of us have friends that don't know Christ. All of us associate with people that don't know Jesus. And there's some of us who actually have family members that don't know Christ. But we're to bring them from the darkness to the light. And there was a time when you and I walked in darkness. guilt and sin and conviction weighed heavily upon us. We were helpless and afraid. And just think about those people that we come in contact with. They're in the same place some of them are. And by faith, one day we met Jesus. And he who is the light of the world gave us his eternal love, mercy, and grace. And we were instantly reborn, received eternal life. Yes, we once walked in darkness, but now we walk in light. And we're to demonstrate that light every moment and every day. In Ephesians 5:8, it says, "For though your hearts were once full of darkness, now you are full of light from the Lord." And what does the last sentence say? "And your behavior should show it." You and I are the light in this world. And as time marches on, it's going to get darker and darker until the day he returns. Every Christian walks in the light. Every Christian, mentally, physically, and morally. And before we came to Christ, our total existence, our whole life, and our whole behavior was characterized by darkness. And there was no way to describe it. And we have to sort of catch that vision in those words that those that we come in contact with were once like us. But now we are the light in the Lord. Christ delivered us from the dominion of darkness and transformed us to the kingdom of his beloved Son. And he who has called us out of darkness into his marvelous light, and because we are in his light, and just as he is the light of the world, we are to be the light for and in our world. All of us have friends in our little worlds. You consider that. They need to hear Jesus. And are you thankful that Jesus lives within? Pardon? Yes. Amen. You can shout it out. Don't worry. I'm not going to be afraid. All right? And we should be thankful. In fact, Colossians 1, I don't have it up, says, "May be filled with joy, always thanking the Father, who has enabled you to share the inheritance that belongs to God's holy people who live in the light. For he has rescued us from the one who rules in the kingdom of darkness, and he has brought us into the kingdom of his dear Son. God has purchased our freedom with his blood and has forgiven all our sins." And that is found in Colossians 1, 11 through 14. Now let's look at a new loyalty. Because the moment we are saved, we change to a new loyalty. We are converted. We are a person who is converted. In 1 Thessalonians 1, it says, "The believers in Macedonia and Greece tell you how the Thessalonians turned to God from idols to serving the living and true God." Conversion involves a change, particularly in the change of lifestyle and loyalties. From serving, shall we say, idols to serving God. Now, idols, they're a little different in those days. With little figurines that they put in their homes and carried with them. But today, what are your idols? What is the idol that controls you? What did Jesus say? "Where your treasure is, there is your heart." What is it? Piles of money? Littles of money? Lots of toys? What is it? What is that idol? We know the list is endless. And when we worship those idols, there is no hope. They just vanish eventually. But you know what? There's hope in God. And so we're converted from serving our idols to serving God. And we're converted from serving sin to serving God. Romans 6 says, "Don't you realize that whatever you choose to obey becomes your master? You can choose sin, which leads to death, or you can choose to obey God and receive his approval. Thank God. Once you were slaves of sin, but now you have obeyed with all your heart the new teaching God has given you. Now you are free from sin, your old master. You have become slaves to your new master, righteousness. Teaching is very simple. Whatever you obey and serve becomes your master. There's only two masters. Our old life, which is sin and controlled by Satan, or to serve God. There's no middle ground. We're freed from the slavery of sin. Freed. And because we have, we've been transformed and been made new. And therefore we bring and enter into a new loyalty to our new master who has purchased us with his lifeblood on Calvary. Jesus becomes our master, becomes our Lord in our lives. And therefore we are converted to Jesus Christ. What I mean is we acknowledge the lordship of Christ in our lives. 1 Peter 3:15 says, set apart Christ as Lord in your life. And lordship is the key to godly living, but more than that, to Christian living. Jesus asked this question, so why do you call me Lord when you won't obey me? Authentic lordship must be lived out in obedience to Christ. He is to be our Lord. He must control and rule our lives. In fact, he must be in the driver's seat. I don't know if you heard this story before about an elderly couple that went for a drive. You get in the car, and he gets behind the driver's seat, right, and grabs the steering wheel. She gets on the passenger side, shuts the door. So she's right against the passenger's door. And as they're driving, she says, you know, it's been a long time since we sat together in the car, hasn't it? And he says, but I haven't moved. I haven't moved. You see, some of us think, too, that when we become a Christian, we can just climb back into the driver's seat. No, that's Jesus' place. And we're to sit right beside him. He must control our lives. He must navigate the journey of our lives moment by moment. Here's something hard to comprehend. To acknowledge Christ as Lord, it must be above all else. In Matthew 10:37, Jesus said, if you love your father or your mother more than you love me, you're not worthy of being mine. They're pretty tough, isn't it? It's pretty tough words. Or if you love your son or daughter more than me, you're not worthy of being mine. And then Jesus goes on to say, if you refuse to take up your cross and follow me, you're not worthy of being mine. If you cling to your life, you will lose it. But if you give it up for me, you will find it. We all must make a decision once and for all. In order for Christ to be Lord, we must put him first in all our relationships. Take up his cross, identify with him, and follow him. It's very interesting that we try to hang on to our lives. We're going to what? Lose it. But if we let go of it and give it to him, oh, what a life that'll be. What a life that'll be. The paradox is that finding the satisfaction of the old life means to lose the life and miss its full larger fulfillment. But losing our own interest for the lordship of Christ is to find life in all its fullness. And of course, this one, Galatians 2:20. We have been crucified with Christ, and we no longer live, but Christ lives in us. And we no longer live, but Christ lives in us. The life we lived in the body, we live by faith in the Son of God, who loved us and gave himself for us. So we made a choice. We accepted Jesus at one point in our lives. We experienced a new creation, a new birth. The old life dissolved and was gone. We began to enjoy a new life. It hasn't been easy, but has been worth it? Has it been worth it to follow Jesus all these years? Oh, I can tell you it has. And then if you sit back and just look back over what he has done, it just blows your socks off, as I would say. And of course, we allow him to be Lord of all. A Christian is someone who is reborn. We're to be the light of our world, wherever we are. And what about you? I don't know all of you quite well. But have you been to the cross? Have you accepted Jesus Christ as your Savior? Have you experienced the new birth, a new creation? And you know, if you have not, you can do that today, right now. Accept Jesus now. And you can experience a new life. Father, as we looked at this whole area of the importance of being a Christian, is a person who was reborn. And there is a lot more that we can learn. Father, help us to reflect and look back and be so thankful for that day where we made that one decision that changed everything in our lives. And someday soon, we will see you. Oh, what an exciting time that will be. Go with us today, Father, and walk with us. We are to be the light wherever we go. We're to be your hands and feet every moment of every day. So I'll go with us, Father, now. Watch over us. Guide us. Teach us to let go of the driver's seat and allow you to navigate our lives for us. In thy wonderful name, amen. Well, until next week, Lord willing, we'll be here again. Amen? Amen, yes.